This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have with us again today Dr. Peter Williamson, a good friend and a wonderful biblical scholar. And we're talking this week about the reliability of the biblical manuscripts. And the big question is Jesus fiction? You know, do we have credible evidence about the teaching of Jesus and how it gets communicated to us? So what do we really have with the Bible, and how can we be confident in it? And how do we know that the authors, what their intent was? There's a whole series of questions that are typically thrown at the church when we talk about the Bible. And Dr. Williamson did a recent debate on this topic, and I heard him do it. He hit a home run at it. And I said, why don't you come on the show and let's talk about it a little bit. So if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, we began talking about the reliability of manuscripts and the evidence that's out there for that. And you can go to our website at renewalministries.net, listen to the program right there on your computer, or download it and listen to them on your iPod at your convenience. But we're going to take another step and wade in a little bit more deeply today. Dr. Williamson, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you again, Pete.
Okay, give our listeners, Peter, just a little summary of what we talked about yesterday and where we're going to go today.
Sure. Well, yesterday we talked about how it is that historians ascertain what is true about the past. And it's different from the way mathematicians discover the truth or the way physical scientists do. Instead, it's a matter much more like courtroom, a situation where you're gathering evidence and weighing it. And in the case of the ancient world, what scholars, historians rely on most is documents. And so it turns out that there is considerable documentary evidence about Jesus. And we especially spent some time on the manuscripts, that in fact Jesus is the best attested person from the first century or earlier, or even the centuries after that, in terms of the documentary evidence. We have thousands of manuscripts of the New Testament in comparison to 10, 20 of any other major history at the time. I forgot to say something then that I want to say now. The most famous person who lived at the same time as Jesus, and who was much more famous in the first century than Jesus, was, of course, the emperor. And the emperor during Jesus' adult life was Tiberius Caesar. Well, in the 100 years after the death of Tiberius Caesar and after the death of Jesus, there are 10 documents that mention Tiberius Caesar, but there are 40 documents that mention Jesus Christ, this marginal Jew on the eastern edge of the empire who grew up in a village of 200 or 300, has that kind of impact that in the surviving documents, we have 40 documents mentioning him,
something?
As compared to 10 documents that mention the emperor of the whole civilized world.
That's extraordinary. That's extraordinary. And then I'm still thinking about yesterday saying, you know, we have 5,700 Greek manuscripts and over 10,000 Latin, and that there's just nothing historically that even comes close to that.
It's
in the ancient
true.
World. Absolutely nothing. It's really phenomenal when you think about it. A man who had no power, he wasn't a part of the whole center of culture and civilization, he wasn't a senator, he didn't have money, he wasn't a Caesar, he was from this obscure village, as you're saying, and this just gigantic amount of material that is written so close to the time when the manuscripts we have are so close to the time the authors actually wrote them. It's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
Yeah. So today, where are we going today?
Well, today, you know, the next thing that historians need to do after they've got the documents in hand is they need to say, what's the credibility of these documents? How trustworthy are they? Just the way a courtroom lawyer has to examine the witnesses. How trustworthy are they? So in the case of the Gospels, which are our primary source of information about the life and teaching of Jesus, we first of all have to say, what was the intent of the biblical authors? What is the nature of these books? Were they trying to write novels? You know, there are some people who say, the Gospels are fiction. They just were trying to write down novels or legends or whatever. So we need to examine them to see what the genre is. You know, for instance, we know that when we read a comic strip, we need to take it differently than the front page of the newspaper. We need to look at the editorial differently still.
And poetry differently.
Novels versus biographies versus history versus fiction.
So the question is, are we looking at Are the authors trying to give us actual history?
Exactly.
Of Jesus, yeah.
And it turns out that they are. And, you know, one of the most striking indications of that is the way that the author of the Gospel of Luke begins that gospel. And I'll just read a few words from it. He says, "Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth or the solidity concerning the things about which you have been instructed." So this is clearly not the introduction to a novel.
Yeah.
This is the introduction to a work of history. And the opinion the scholars have come to, who have compared the Gospels to other writings of the first century, say that if the typical first century person had picked up one of the Gospels and said, "What kind of book is this?" just as we do when we pick up a book, they would have said, "This is biography," or "This is history." That's the nature or the genre of these books. The second question that you need to ask if somebody's writing a history is, well, how well did the author know what was actually going on there? And what was his access to the facts? And Luke, whose prologue I just read, does not claim to have been an eyewitness. But he does say that he investigated the matter carefully, a matter that was passed on to him and to the early church by eyewitnesses. The other Gospels are in a slightly different position. The Gospel of John, in a couple of places, makes a direct claim to being testimony of an eyewitness.
Here's an example, and tell us then how significant this is.
Yeah.
Like John chapter 21, verse 24, for somebody to write something like this and how historians would look at it. He says, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness to these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true."
Right.
How important is that kind of statement from the point of view of a historian trying to get at the author's, both his intent, but also his credibility?
Yeah. Well, both in the ancient world and in the modern world, the kind of most highly rated evidence is eyewitness testimony. And so the fact that the author says, well, actually, in that reading, it isn't the author himself. It's someone else saying, "This is attested to."
He's testifying to the credibility of the author,
right?
Who's telling us what he saw,
right.
And then someone else is saying, "He is who he says he is." Essentially,
and he's reliable.
He's trustworthy. Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
We know that this person saw it and wrote it, yet there's a group of people who seem to be the community or witnesses or associates of that person who are attesting to his reliability.
Yeah.
Therefore, drawing a very connect line of evidence to the account of the Gospels of what happens. The Gospel of John is a very interesting case because we know it's quite different in character from the Synoptic Gospels.
Which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke, thank you. But it fundamentally agrees about the life of Jesus. There's some important little differences in facts. When was the cleansing of the temple? John tells it at the beginning. The Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell it at the end. But if you sort of say, what are the big picture points about Jesus? What did he teach? How did he die? How about his resurrection? About the appearances afterwards? The Gospels agree on these things. So it's a remarkable independent witness. But there's also evidence about the other Gospels. An early Christian writer from the first part of the second century named Papias, he was a bishop of the city of Hierapolis, said that he heard from disciples of Jesus, and he named them, someone named John, someone named Aristion, that Mark was the companion of Peter and wrote down what he heard from Peter, and that Matthew was the very first to write down the sayings of Jesus, and that the other gospel writers or other writers made use of them. So we have another connection to the facts in that way too. And recent scholarship finds internal evidence within the Gospels, little details, allusions to witnesses that indicate that we're dealing with eyewitness testimony. Now, sometimes people will call into question the Gospels because they'll say, these men are biased. They were believers. But just because somebody is a believer doesn't mean that they're not telling the truth. In fact, right. if they're convinced firmly about something, it just might be because it is the truth. You know?
Yeah.
So bias is found in every historical document. And so what historians are accustomed to doing is weighing the bias and saying, well, how might that make some of this testimony questionable? In the case of the early church, the fact that the first witnesses to Jesus, his disciples, were willing to die for their story
right.
is a pretty good testimony to their sincerity. They believed what they said.
Yeah, and as you were talking the other day, what came to mind was the C.S. Lewis argument, the liar, lunatic, Lord argument about Jesus himself and Jesus'
yeah.
great claims. And either he made such extraordinary claims about himself, he'd either have to be a liar because he knows it's not true, a lunatic because he thinks he's something that he's not and he's kind of crazy, or he's the real thing.
Right.
And then people point to the fact that his character, what he acted, the content of what he taught, the moral life that he lived, the impact he had on other people gave witness to the truth-telling quality character of his person. And the apostles are very similar, or the writers are very similar in terms of what they were teaching and how it impacted people. It just would be so incongruous in some ways, at least this, in my thinking about it.
Sure.
So incongruous, the quality and depth and virtue and goodness of what they're teaching, and it turns out they were a bunch of liars. It doesn't really make any sense.
Exactly. I think any historian with any degree of honesty will say, there's no question these people believed what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a skeptic might say they were wrong, or they were misled, they were confused, but certainly they believed it because they were willing to die for it. There's a couple other things on the credibility, though, of the Gospels. Sometimes people point out details, differences in details between the Gospels, in the order of the events, or in theological emphasis, or even outright contradictions in minor facts. Did Jesus heal the blind man as he was going into Jericho, as Luke says, or as he was leaving Jericho, as Matthew and Mark say? Or did Jesus tell them to bring a staff or not to bring a staff? But the differences in details and in order and in theological emphasis among the Gospels don't discredit them. In fact, they, from a historical point of view, add to their credibility. Because just as when a policeman takes eyewitness testimony about an automobile accident, you're going to get slight differences from everybody who saw it. They're going to remember a little differently. They saw it from a different place. And that proves that they didn't get together and, you know, cook up the story.
Yeah, that's a good
it
point.
It shows that you're dealing with independent testimony, and there are minor differences, but these confirm, if you will, the things that they all agree on.
You know, just to hear your thought on this, sometimes you do hear people who criticize Scripture say there's big differences, big contradictions and things like that. But, I mean, you've dedicated your life to studying Scripture
yeah.
and writing Scripture. That simply isn't true, is what you're saying.
You're absolutely correct. And, of course, now scholars like to make a big thing out of a little thing.
Yep.
So when they say it's the big thing, a big difference, is ask them to tell you what it is or pay attention to what they say and sit back and judge, is this really so big or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
And usually it is not.
Yeah.
One more point about the Gospels is that they do tell what would be embarrassing facts. If they were trying to whitewash the whole thing, they wouldn't talk about
right.
Peter denying Jesus three times.
Yeah.
They wouldn't tell about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. Well, that could confuse people. Was Jesus a sinner? Was John greater than Jesus? So there was embarrassing facts that the Gospels
yeah,
are willing
stuff.
To present.
Well, this is such good stuff. And Peter, thank you for being with us. Dr. Williamson will be with us again tomorrow. Why don't you tune in? We're going to continue to press into this great topic. And God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.